him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Are the world of strong? If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, O Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk, just 1 second. All right. When, you ready? My feeble life is o'er. Time for me will bear no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er. To thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Yep. Love of Christ so freely give. Grace of God beyond degree. That's it. Just 1 second. Love technology, don't you? That sounds great. Well, you're going to have a lot of time today, Brother Strunk.
One thing about it, if he gets mad, up, it's his mama that's up there. So, thank you, Landon. You did a good job, buddy. He is filling in for Brother David. As we mentioned just momentarily earlier, David had gotten some information that his dad was not doing very well, and so I mentioned him for prayer this morning. But after church and everything, David was able to find out a little more about it, and his dad had really slipped a little further than they thought, and he felt like he needed to go down there. And of course, I told him, yeah, you need to get on down there. And so David's checking on his dad, and then CJ gave me a little bit of information that he got down there, and his dad recognized him. He's able to talk with him a little bit. So looks like he's going to be going on to hospice care, and that'll be something that, of course, David, like he had with his mom, he's kind of got to stay on top of all of that. So we'll be praying for David along the way pertaining to that. And it's a difficult time, you know, when your parents begin to age and decline like that. It's a lot of stress on David. So you guys keep him in your prayers. And again, thank you, Landon. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and then we will be seated. And Brother Strunk's going to come. He's got 3 hours to preach now. And we'll get right to it. Glad you're back tonight, guys. We had a great morning. The Wills family were fantastic. The preaching was good. The Wills family are at my home church in Clarendon tonight. And so I'm sure they're going to enjoy them as well. Okay, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And Dwayne, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we can be seated. And Brother Strunk, you come on.
Amen. Good to see you. I got to get this out of the way. I've got to do it. Next month, I'm 82 years old, and I don't look it. Say amen. Amen. I love the story about the woman in the nursing home, and they were celebrating her 100th birthday. And so one of the men slipped up by and said, Granny, do you know that this is your birthday? Do you know how old you are? And she said, no, how old am I? And he said, you are 100 years old. And she said, no wonder I'm so tired. Hey, I got some encouraging news for you, especially if you're a sweetaholic like I am. I've got some good news for you. Did you know that if you have a cake and you don't cut it and eat it, it means you've just had one piece? Huh? That encourages me. You've had just one piece. Good to see you tonight. Isn't God good? Say amen. No sermon is ever a success which leaves men, women satisfied with themselves. Every sermon ought to be just like open heart surgery. Remember Lydia in Acts chapter 16, whose heart the Lord opened after she heard Paul's sermon. So tonight I want to preach on this subject, having our nest stirred. And I want you to turn to Job chapter 29. In the wonderful Word of God, because nothing speaks of the Bible better than the Bible itself. I never get tired of saying that because it's the truth. Job chapter 29. Having our nest stirred. Job chapter 29, and beginning in verse 2, if you're there, say amen. Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me. Now keep your Bibles open there because we're going to use another verse in just a moment. But Job got caught looking back at the good old days. But the truth is, the only real good old days are the godly days and the godly ways. Then Job made a statement in verse number 16. Look at it, or verse 18. Job says in chapter 29, verse 18, then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. But it didn't work out that way for Job. We make a lot of statements, but only God's statements will stand. Job thought that he was safe in his nest. He lost his wealth. By the way, when you get in a pity party, just start reading the book of Job. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his health. But he still had God, who gave him his wealth, his children, and his health. Now in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 9, just write it down if you take notes. The Bible says, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Now, the truth tonight is this. There is no nest high enough, not in this world, not made by man. As a matter of fact, you can be feathered with money. Just have all kinds of money, but that's not a real protection for you. I don't know if any of you here tonight are mature enough to relate to me when I say this, but my mother, she used to always say when I was growing up, I remember hearing her say, when my ship comes in, I'm going to do this, or when my ship comes in, I'm going to buy that. And one guy said, well, when my ship came in, I was at the airport. Money won't buy peace and happiness and strength, nor technologies. It's not the thing that gives us security in life. Most people are afraid of having their nest disturbed. Change, we're talking about again tonight. Most people spend their entire life building a nest down here. Nesting, resting, and jesting. So light, so trivial, so careless. Are you still listening? Say amen. God stirred Job's nest. Has God ever stirred your nest? Could he be doing that now? Sure he could. He could be doing that now, and he could be doing it always. Put it down, God never stirs up your nest, or our nest, down here, but to make it better for us. He never works in our life to hurt us. You would not be saved, and I would not be saved, if God hadn't have stirred our nest. We can thank God that there was that time when the Holy Spirit convicted us of sin. By the way, we can't brag about anything in our salvation because Jesus paid it all. Pastor, I've preached in many places that I preached since camp when I was invited to preach that youth camp at 74 years of age. I couldn't believe it, and I loved every moment of it. But after that camp, many places that I preached, including at home, I told them about the night when all those young people, I think close to 400 in that building with that tremendous acoustics, saying Jesus paid it all. I mean, it sent chills up my spine and affected me and impacted me for a long, long time and even to this day. Thank God he stirred our nest and convicted us. And the Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. You wouldn't even be here tonight if God hadn't stirred your nest. And we would not have the blessings we have tonight if God had not stirred our nest. You see, the Lord's portion is his people, not his oceans, his skies, his mountains, his universe, but his people. And so the eagle of God's grace stirs up our nest. We jump out in despair, and he bears us up, and we are saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Thank God he stirred our nest. Now, let me ask you this question. Could God use the coronavirus to stir up our nest, to wake us up, to make us more dependable upon him, to teach us things that we would learn no other way? And let me assure you tonight that anything that makes us more dependent upon God is good. It's never, ever bad. Now, for just 2 hours, I want to give you a few things about God stirring our nest and why he stirs our nest. Are you ready? Say amen. Amen. Number one, he stirs our nest because we become too comfortable and then self-centered. Then that leads to self-serving and self-sufficiency and selfishness. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 14 says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." Sin is living independent from God. That's the worst mistake a person could ever do. Sin is living independently from God. And so I remind you tonight, and it can happen to any of us, we can get in a backslidden condition. The old devil's slick, isn't he? He knows how to work on us. And remember, backsliding is never a blowout. It's always a slow leak. I've got this imagination that makes life exciting. But I love the story about the guy that was losing his hair. Every time he'd brush it and comb it and take a shower, hair was going down the drain. And finally he got down to, I can just see this now, he got down to one hair sticking up on the top of his head. And boy, I mean to tell you, he nursed that hair. He oiled that hair. He put a hair net on that hair to protect it. And one morning he screamed. He was upstairs. He screamed so loud it terrified his wife. And she said, "What's happened?" And he said, "I'm going bald because that hair came out." Well, that doesn't happen just that quick. Backsliding is always a process of falling away. Hardly ever is somebody serving the Lord faithfully, and then just like that, they're out of the will of God. Secondly, tonight, God stirs our nest, because if he didn't, we would never learn to fly. You know, God wants us to serve him by serving others. I've got a good motto that I read in a book that I was reading just a couple of weeks ago that said this, and it's a good motto that all of us could have. It said, God first, others second, and me last. If we have that philosophy, we're in a position where God can use us in his service. God first, others second, and me last. When Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, as you're emphasizing missions at this time of year in your church, to go into all the world and win people to Christ and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and what does that do to the doctor and preacher of those that say Jesus only? No, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You baptize them, and then you don't stop there. You teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." If God didn't stir our nest, we would never learn to fly. An interesting study is about the eagles and that tremendous bird. And the eagle, in order to get its babies to learn to fly, because when they're little, they don't know they can fly. And in order to teach them to fly, that eagle stirs the nest, shakes the nest, brushes on them, and flips them out of that nest, and then flies down under them and lets them land on his wings and brings them back safely to the nest, and does that again and again and again until the bird gets it and begins to understand that it can indeed fly. Well, you see, that's what God's doing with us. He's stirring our nest to get us to move. There's a lot of people that would do a lot more for the Lord that really have a heart for God and for the church, but they don't step out because of fear. They're afraid they can't do it. They say, "Boy, I'd like to participate in the choir. I'd like to participate in teaching. I'd like to participate in leadership in the church." But they're not willing to get out of the nest. And it is scary, but I'll tell you what, he's always there to lift us up and catch us. Thank God that he stirs our nest because he loves us. Still awake, say amen. Number three. He stirs our nest to teach us how insecure our nest really are. How insecure our nest really are. Well, after all, what are the nests made of? Sticks and twigs and grass and hair and feathers and trash and a lot of things that our nests are made of. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 62 and verse 10, if riches increase, set not thine heart upon them. In other words, we're not to put our confidence in man. We're not to put our confidence in money or things or education or even in the military. The Bible says that it is in him. In him we live and move and have our being. When I transitioned out of pastoring 17 years ago, that's so hard to believe. When I transitioned out of pastoring, I think that was 2004. When I transitioned out of pastoring, Loretta and I had tried to be good stewards, and I had a CPA named Marshall Gunn that I've been using just about all the time I've been in Jacksonville. We kind of grew together in his business. He was a top CPA in Florida. Jeb Bush appointed him in that position. He's a magnificent and a wonderful Christian. Aren't you glad we've got Christians in these professions? And so when it was getting close to time for me to transition, he encouraged me about some things, and I intended to just be real conservative, and I really didn't intend to get into stocks and in the stock market. But he showed me information, and it was very convincing. And so he diversified us in stocks in such a way over a period of time that it was doing good. And so we transitioned and was feeling good. And then in 2008, the crash came. And we lost 40%. Even though we were well diversified, we lost 40%. And a couple of men in the church said, "Preacher, did that bother you?" And I said, "Yeah, sure it bothered me." What a question. Did that bother you? You lost 40% of your portfolio? I said, "Yeah, it bothered me." And then I smiled real big and I said, "For just about 3 or 4 minutes, about 3 or 4 minutes, and I leveled out real quick, and I thought of the words of David when he said, "Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." And I promise you tonight that where Jesus leads, he feeds. He will provide. Matthew 6:33, and you've got absolutely nothing to worry about. And so he stirs our nest to teach us how insecure our nest really are. Are you still awake? Say amen. Number 4, he stirs our nest to make us more thankful for what we have. You know, if we're honest about it, we're spoiled. We've got more in our garage than a lot of people around this world, probably about 90%, especially in the third world countries. We've got more in our garage than some people have in their life. Yes, sir. We take for granted, thank you, we take for granted things that meant that the majority of people around the world would give anything to have. I mean, we have the stuff. Matter of fact, my wife, you know, I hate spring cleaning. I detest it. And when it gets around to that time, and Loretta says, "Well, it's time." And I say, "Time for what?" "It's time for our spring cleaning." And that's where she goes through every drawer. I mean, boy, it's the most boring thing to me in the world. And every drawer, because my wife is very meticulous. Every drawer, I mean socks, everything. We go through everything. And she says, "Anything that we haven't used for a year, we're going to throw away." Boy, I thought I was next. I mean, it made me nervous. And I'm not a hoarder, but we were brought up poor. We didn't have a car a majority of the time as I was growing up. And we didn't have much growing up. And so we knew the value of a dollar, and I'm glad we learned that way. I really am, because it makes you appreciate what you have. But we didn't have very much when I was growing up. It was tough times, but you know what? In the midst of all of it, God Almighty supplied our needs even before we were saved. You know, God was good to us even before we were saved, that there was something, at least very few times, there was food on the table. I'm going to tell you what, God's been good to us. And one of the best things we can do, you want to get happy, just start counting your blessings. Just make a list, start writing down, God's done this for me, God's done that. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. We've got a bunch of spoiled brats today, and I've almost got where I don't like the word at all, entitlement. They feel like they're entitled. In the advertisements on the TV, they tell you, you need to do this because you're entitled to it. And we're in that culture, and people expect more and more, and want something for not doing anything, and that's not God's way. God wants us to work and to be good stewards of what He blesses us with, and be thankful for what He's given us. Be thankful for that car you drive and that house you live in. And God has been good to us. He's been good to you, and He's been good to me, and it's a shame that there's so many people that can't see that. Some people just stay irritated all the time. Don't look around now. I like this story about the man that was, this guy was 4'7" tall, and he went into the restaurant and he sat down, and the waiter came, and he was 6'7". And so the waiter come in, he looked down over him, and this 4'7" guy looked up and said, "Do you play basketball?" And the waiter said, "No. Do you play miniature golf?" Some people just stay irritated all the time instead of being thankful. I am thankful. Be thankful. God has been good to you, and He has been good to me. Praise the Lord. I kind of feel a shout coming on. I feel good. I feel good because God is good. And God supplies all of our needs, and it's always safe to trust the Lord. You know, my wife is just a little bit nervous now about me traveling. And she even said this. She said, "Honey," and she never has fought me in this. I've done it since I preached my first revival when I was 19 years old, when I was in the Bible Baptist Seminary and the Victory Baptist Church in Kennedale, Texas. Woody Hibbs was a pastor, and I was dating Loretta when I preached that meeting. And she never forgets that meeting, because I was dramatizing Naaman dipping seven times in the Jordan River. And I went and I got behind a stand-up piano, and behind that piano there was a gas heater and some wire, some lines back there. And when I went down the third time, I got stuck between the piano and the gas heater. And I was down there screaming, "And he went down, and he, and he, and he." And it took me a while to get up. And I just made a big joke out of it, but it was kind of terrifying, actually. And Loretta's never forgot that. But I've always preached meetings while I was pastoring. It was a God thing. God gave us the kind of a ministry and church that we could share and do that. And so she's always been very patient about that and understands that this is a passion with me. But now, since I'm 82, and she sees me stumbling around the house, you know, and hears me groaning. I do a lot of groaning. Why? Because it makes me feel better. Really, it does. It helps me to, you know, when I get up, And she said, "Honey, I watch you get in and out of that Tahoe, and the way you have to drop your foot down and drag and slide out and then, you know, get out and do like I've dramatized some elderly people I've seen in the past hanging onto the car and doing calisthenics so they can get going. And she said, I see how you walk. And she said, I'm just afraid somebody will take advantage of you. And I said, I'm going to tell you what. I've got him, and I've got my sidekick. And you're not against that here. You won't judge me about that. I said, I've got this, and I got my sidekick. And she said, you do? And I said, yeah, right there all the time. But she's a little bit nervous, and frankly, I'm a little bit sensible. I can kind of understand why. Yeah. I'd be a little bit nervous too. But I said, you know what? What are they going to threaten me with, heaven?
Yes.
And to be frank with you, when I get ready now and do this kind of long haul stuff, I have a little bit more interpretation about it. I think more about what I'm going to do. But then God overrides that and reminds me that he is with me, whether I'm 18 or 82, he's with me. I know that I'm in the will of God. I had to cancel meetings in Ohio, Georgia, and Texas twice. First time I'd ever done that in my ministry, which is unbelievable, had to cancel meetings. And I hated it, but I knew it was the right thing to do at that time. And then as we worked in closer to this, she said, you're getting ready, aren't you? I said, yeah, because she can tell. I start getting happy because it's in my DNA. It's just in me. Since I retired from pastoring, I've never done this because I have to. I've done it because I want to. It's a fire that's burning in you. And so, boy, I'll tell you what, I feel good tonight. I feel good. Now, you're not going to watch me as I walk in that room tonight in the hotel. Because when you watch me walk in that hotel room and try to push that door open, it's so heavy, you say, man, lie, that old man, what's the matter with him? But there's something about when I'm going to preach. And I do love to hammer the highway. It's genetic. I just love it. People say, how in the world can you get in a vehicle and go that far by yourself? Because I like me. I like my company. I like the time to meditate. I love the scenery. I still love it. And you know what I'm going to do? By the grace of God, I'm going to do it as long as I can. And when I can't, I'm going to try to put my big boy pants on and not have a pity party, but just thank God for the ride and let God use me any way he can, the way he wants to. Because it's always safe to trust the Lord. You never go wrong when you trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. All right, are you still awake? He stirs our nest to remind us that this world is not our home. This world is not my home. Sing with me. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Good. That's good harmony. I'm going to tell you, we're winners. We're on the winning side. The best is yet to come. It's on the way. This world's not our home. I have a good friend for decades. Pat McCall pastored the Faith Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida for almost 30 years, 27 years, I think, and to build a great ministry there. And Brother McCall and I, for decades, have been very close. We traveled together. We traveled in RVs and boats and airplanes and cars, and we went to conferences and fellowship meetings, and then we were both motorcyclists, and I don't recommend that for anybody else, because it's the most dangerous thing you can do, I believe, is motorcycle. But golf was way too slow for me. I tried golf. I really did try. And I'm telling you what, it was boring to me. And it's a wonderful game. And I learned enough that I can play with Claude Craven and laugh all the way. Every hole you'd laugh with Claude Craven. And I did it just for social that way. But I tell you what, I needed more excitement than that. And the motorcycle was it. When you are on a motorcycle, and I got my Harley ring on if you want to see it up close. When you're on a motorcycle, I'm going to tell you, you don't think about very much except staying alive. If you've got any sense about you, right? If you got any sense about you, you're thinking about staying alive. And boy, you talk about overworking our guardian angels. Brother McCall and I, what in the world am I going this direction for? Brother McCall and I, we rode motorcycles in the Gatlinburg, Tennessee in January and February when there was snow and when there was ice. We were there in Gatlinburg going out to go somewhere, and there were some guys working on the road on the side, and I can still see them, and we're getting ready to go up. I think it was that pass that goes from Cherokee to Gatlinburg, and these guys were all out there working, had their equipment on, their snow, ice all over the ground, and we went by, hey, picture this, when we went by, they all took their hats off and went like this. And you know, we should have had enough sense then not to try to go, but we went, and we ended up sliding down and over the side of a hill a little ways, and we had a pretty good time trying to get straightened out and get out of there. But I tell you what, I needed that kind of excitement. I really did, because life was boring to me without excitement. And so he was my friend. We did these things together. And so Brother McCall, he died here just a few weeks ago. And he was always so strong, a strong man, and such a great preacher and such a wonderful friend. And the Lord took him home. And I just, in the sad moments, I kept reminding myself of that better forever, better forever, better forever. I miss him, but I'll tell you what, who's next? We don't know. Hey, don't live your life waiting for the other shoe to drop. Do you know anybody like that? I do. I know some people, and they're good people. They're Christian people. I know some people that are good Christians, but they're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Don't live your life that way. The Bible says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Not a spirit of fear, to be afraid. And some people are just, now the truth is, the shoe's going to drop. It drops on all of us. But Romans 8:28 is going to take care of it. And all things are going to work together for our good and God's glory. Hallelujah. And hey, the bottom line is, God's got it. God's got this. He's got our lives. He's got our family. And the big challenge for you and me is to live one tick at a time. And not try to live tomorrow today. Or regret the past. That's a total waste of time. We're all going to die. I've got a preacher friend. He's in heaven now. His name is Elmer Fountain. He pastored in Savannah, Georgia for a long time. And he was up in his 80s. And we were at a fellowship meeting. And Brother Fountain had been having all kinds of physical trouble. And so we were asking him what was wrong. And he named off about 9 or 10 things. I mean, heart disease and bypasses and cancers And he named off about 10 things. He had such a wit about him. And then he smiled real big and he said, "But you know what? I'd hate to die perfectly healthy." Hop-Hop rolled on the floor. I mean, timing's the essence of all humor. "I'd hate to die perfectly healthy." And we just scream. I'm going to tell you what. No matter what, if Jesus tarries, we're going to die. And the important thing is that we know where we're going. And so, Brother McCall, we would talk when we were traveling. We would talk about our own, one time we were talking about our own mortality. And although we dealt with death all of the time and funerals all of the time, we talked about our own mortality. And Brother McCall said, "You know what?" He said, the bottom line truth is the same grace that saved us will take us through that valley in our lives. God will be with us. He will take care of us. He will lift us up on His everlasting wings. And to God be the glory. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Yes, it is. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Oh, because... Boy, they ought to put me on American Idol. Because my wife says, "Why do they all just scream?" Because heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. God stirs our nest to help us. Now, would you bow your heads, please? I want to thank you. I want to thank this pastor and his wife and his family. I want to thank the Williams and all of you for your hospitality and your kindness to me and your encouragement to me. I want to thank you for being here in this wonderful evening service. And I want you to look in your own life now, over your own heart, and let's do this. First of all, if you're not saved, maybe everybody's saved tonight. Probably, but I don't know. If you don't know that you're saved, you can be saved tonight. And when we have a verse of invitation, however we're going to do that in a few moments, you just come and meet somebody at the front and say, "I want to be saved." And somebody will open a Bible and pray with you. You can be saved tonight. Everybody that believes that, say amen. Amen. Maybe everybody's a member of the church. This is Sunday night. This is a faithful group. Maybe everybody's a member. I don't know. But if you're not and you're a saved, born-again Christian, you need to be anchored with the church. And so ask God what He wants you to do. And if He wants you here, you have an impression, this is what I ought to do. I need to take care of this. Just come on and tell somebody up front here, "I want to be a part of this church." I promise you, you could not do better. Just have God on it. And then last but not least, Christians, what about an old-fashioned time of prayer at these old-fashioned altars and talking to Jesus and loving Him for stirring our nest and loving us and lifting us up on His wings and fixing us a place in heaven and promising to be with us all the way in this life? We ought to praise Him and thank Him. Hey, it wouldn't hurt us to get on our face. You say, "I don't need to come forward, do I, preacher?" No, not if God doesn't tell you to. I'd rather have one because God said do it than a bunch just to do it. But there is something about kneeling and praying. Don't you know that blesses the heart of God when we kneel and pray and say, "Lord, hey, how about I want to thank You for stirring my nest and saving me and loving me and watching over me and taking care of business." Whatever God wants you to do, let's stand together now. Whatever God wants you to do, as we have the invitation, you slip out and come right now. You'll not be sorry you did what God asked you to do tonight. To slip out now and say, "Preacher, in this great Sunday night service, God's touched me. I want to love Him, thank Him, serve Him, put him first in my life.
Amen. I wish it was fall and we were doing this till Wednesday night. That would be good, wouldn't it? He made reference to the time that he spoke out at our youth camp. You said you were 74 when that happened? That was back when I was still the director of our camp. I did that many years, so I put all that stuff together. And of course, we'd had him, and I knew him and what he could do and how he preached. And so I wanted to schedule him for the camp. And there was some skepticism because of his age. You know, they want somebody with their shirt untucked and cool that'll lean on a stool and everything. And I said, no, he's relevant. And he'll do. And I'm telling you, it's one of the best camps we ever had. For 5 nights that he got up there. And with the kids, he did the same thing he did with us. He drew us in and drew those kids in and had them laughing. And at the end of the service, had him at the altar, and he just so relevant, and still is. And I hope he lives to be 182, and at least comes 20 more years to our church. So, you're a blessing. You're a real blessing. You guys are a blessing. Thank you for your faithfulness today, and it's a good group. Pray for David and his father, Wayne, and we'll keep you updated along the way on that. But David's going to need a lot of encouragement along the way through that. Glad you were here tonight. Let's go ahead and be dismissed in a word of prayer. If you want to get your tickets for the mother-daughter banquet, let me say, by the way, it doesn't have to be mother-daughter. It's just a female banquet, and you bring a friend, you come by yourself, whatever the case is. I'm going to be the only man there. In fact, I'm the one speaking. But y'all come anyway, okay? We're going to have a good time, okay? So, tickets in the back, $10 a piece. And so right now, let's dismiss in a word of prayer, and we'll see you back here on Wednesday. Eric, will you lead us in prayer, please?